Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Today I want to start a new series of teachings which I have titled The Giant Killer. And the subtitle is The Ability to Conquer the Tall Challenges of Life. We're talking about the giant killer. Now, why did I use the expression the giant killer? All right, that expression comes from the encounter of David with Goliath. All right, and I'm going to answer a number of questions. Just let's think about it a bit. Most of us know the stories of the Bible, one of them being the story of David and Goliath. There was a time that Goliath, the children of Israel, under Saul, went to battle against the Philistines. And then when they got there, what they met was not what they planned or bargained for. They saw a giant amongst the Philistines, and he stood right in front of the armies of the Philistines and was daring the people of Israel. For days he did that, and everybody was afraid of him. But a time came, a young boy named David, who was sent there by his father just to come and carry some supplies to boast the king and his elder brothers. He heard it, he was not afraid. He was a young boy. People put his age at about 17 years of age around that time. All right, he was not even qualified to be in the army. He was, if you see the description of his life, when the prophet came to anoint him, the Bible says he was ruddy of a good countenance. And the way I understand that is that the young man was, he didn't look very strong. He was not a warrior in physique. Yet, when he heard the story, when he heard the tauntings of Goliath, he was not afraid. Why was he not afraid? That's what I'm trying to describe in these teachings. He wasn't afraid. He saw Goliath as an obstacle to be overcome. In fact, he was so confident he could do it that when they gave him the armor of the king to go and face Goliath with when he volunteered to go, he refused. He went with just his staff and his catapult, the way we put it, all right? His sling shot. He went with it there, picked some stones, and he went towards the giant and he overcame the giant. We all know the story. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I mean, the other stories like that in the Bible. Joshua and Caleb, very good example in Kadesh Barnea. You read the story in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. They went to, when they were heading for the land of Israel, the people wanted to see the land ahead, and God obliged them and said Moses should send out 12 spies. There were 12 spies there. One of them, Joshua, another Caleb, and then the other 10 people. They all saw the same things. They saw the beauty of the land. They saw all the beautiful things that they could have if they enter into the land. But everybody was afraid because they saw the giants there. The Anakim, they were there. And these are tall people, ferocious people, mighty in battle. These were great men of war. Joshua and Caleb were amongst the 12, but they were not afraid. They were so confident that they had the ability to take out those giants. The question is, why? Why were they not afraid, whereas the rest of Israel were afraid? Why was David not afraid, whereas the rest of Israel, all right, was afraid? Why was it that, notice this again, there was a man named Samson, and we're going to read two portions of the scriptures, all right, to introduce this, and one of them will be about the story of Samson. Let's quickly read it, all right? First of all, we'll read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, then we'll now go to the story of Samson, which is in the book of Judges. Now, what I was saying is that, remember the story of Samson, we all know it. There was a time that Samson, very powerful, he was able to take out all the giants around him. He took out armies, he took out gates of cities. If you know what a gate is, a gate those days was used to block invading armies from entering a city. Yet, Samson carried out the gate that was attached to the wall. He pulled it down alone and carried it on his back and carried it up a mountain. All right? Very strong fellow. Yet, this guy fell at the feet of one pepperless woman. You know what I'm going to explain? The question again is, why? Those are the things I want to examine in this series, talking about the giant killer. Because in life, we will face challenges. And what I'm going to say here is this. The challenges are never the problem. It is us that are the problem. That is, if we have strength, we will overcome the challenges. Like David overcome Goliath, like Joshua and Caleb were willing to face the giants. And Caleb eventually was given the opportunity at the age of 85, and he faced those giants, and he took them out. We'll be able to do that. Why is it that sometimes little challenges like Delilah will come into the life of a great man like Samson and bring him down? Those are the things we must understand. Life has challenges. If we understand the proper technology, let me use that expression, how to apply the word of God to getting results in life, we will find out that it will overcome challenges and the problems of life will not be able to bring us down. I said we're going to read two portions to start. The first one for the book of Hebrews, which you know very well, chapter 11. Quickly, let's read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Please jump to verse 3. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Now, why did I read this? Because I want us to bear something in mind. That when we are observing things in mind, like I said in verse 3, what we see are not made out of things which are visible. What was he saying there? Sometimes we are looking at things in life. For example, this is where I like to illustrate it. If you see a young man, he's doing very well, he's successful. You understand my point? At the age of 30-something, he's built a very big business. They are turning over a few billions of naira every year. And he's making some handsome profit, all right? And things are going very well for him. People will say that, it is because his father is rich. Are you getting my point? And that will be the explanation. The Bible says what we see were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, his father's wealth may have absolutely nothing to do with his success. And as a matter of fact, we know most rich men don't produce successful children. That is a matter of fact. And most successful young men were not born by rich parents. Now, the issue is that when you now find a successful man whose parents are rich, you can't just assume that that is the reason. And that's what the Bible is telling us. What it means is that there's usually more than meets the eye when you look at something. Because, you see, let me take the story of Samson. We'll read it in a moment as an example. People often say, why? Why did he fall for it? He should have just not agreed to talk. What I'm saying is this. There is something deeper than a man's willingness when it comes to what he will do and what he will not do. Sometimes people say that, no, you just refuse. Listen to me. Like I say all the time, when they put you before, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they put you before the lion's den or put you before the fiery furnace, you will know whether you can easily refuse that time. When you have never been there, you can be thinking you will refuse. The truth is that a lot of people that fall for those things, pressures were upon them greater than what they could tackle. And that was why they fell. What am I saying? Life is usually more than meets the eyes. So when you see that David was not afraid of Goliath. This is the point. It's not just that he was bold. Something accounted for the boldness. I believe very strongly that the first time that David, because those are the things he said. They said, why are you going to do this? Are you sure you can do it? He said, I've done it before. When? He said, I faced a lion. I was alone. I faced a bear, I was alone. Are you getting the point? Now, I'm sure that the first time he faced a lion alone, just to save the life of one of his lambs, one of his sheep, I believe he did not know what he was doing. It was after he had done it that he woke up to reality to discover what he had done. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? I heard a story once of a woman and a grandmother, all right, who I think she was, there was something. Maybe a car was jacked up, like a small truck was jacked up, and her grandchild or something was under the truck, and this vehicle fell. The jack broke, and it fell on that child. This grandmother pulled the car up and rescued the child. Listen, it's not normal. It's not natural. People have, in fact, the day I heard the story, somebody was trying to explain what you can do when you're under pressure. Listen to me. Something does you under pressure. You're not the one that does that thing. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, like I say all the time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not refuse to bow. Bowing refused them. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying there. That is, when they faced the fiery furnace, the people wanted to throw them inside the fire burnt those people up. So it was not human determination. What happened was that something inside them refused them bowing. Those are the things we are talking about, that there is strength that's beyond somebody. And when you are facing challenges in life, you will discover that what happens a lot of times is not dependent upon your own perceived or natural abilities. Something comes into you that is stronger than you. In the same manner, when a man like Samson decides to fall for Delilah, something inside him left him, made him weak, and he was unable to withstand the pleading of that young woman. So it's not just at that moment that your boldness, all right, not your determination that I'll be bold. That, listen, when you are shouting, you'll be bold. When you hear the first shot, you will disappear. Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. So what are we examining? What is it in life? Because we said what we see are not made out of things that are visible. That is, those immediate explanations don't always work. But we want to look at the word of God to see the things behind, which made David not be afraid of Goliath. The things behind that made Joshua and Caleb so strong that when they saw the giants, they also were not afraid. The things behind that leaked away the strength of Samson. So that once Delilah came upon Samson, Samson fell for her. Those are the things we want to look at. Now we have read this. Let's do the second one. That is the story of Samson, which, just to refresh our memories, is in the book of Judges chapter 16. Now, if you read from verse 1, you will see that Samson did one of his mighty works again in the one I referred to earlier, around verse 3. He carried, the Bible says, the doors of the city gates and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the mountain, the top of the mountain, which is opposite Hebron. That's how strong this young man was. And now look from verse 4. After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and see where his great strength lies, and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver and all of that. Now, the woman now approached Samson from verse 6. Tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said a lot of lies to her. In verse 7, he said something. Another time, he said another thing, you know. And then finally, in verse 10, when all the things that he said turned out to be lies, Delilah turned to him and said, behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. Now please tell me, how may you be bound? And he said another thing. Okay, now, in verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. Now, after all the deceptions, saying this and saying that, she said to him in verse 15, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is. And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And that was the truth. She arranged it, made sure he was asleep, cut the locks of his hair, and then his strength left him. Let me first say something that will interest a lot of people who have probably never thought about this. When we see pictures of Samson, the picture we see is the picture of Hulk Hogan. The picture we see is the picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger. The picture we see is the picture of a very big and muscular man, a giant in himself. But let me just point something out to you. That could not have been Samson. Because if that was it, nobody would have been asking, tell us the secret of his strength. Because that would have been obvious. If you see Hulk Hogan pull out the gates of a house, you would assume that that's what Moses do for people. But what happened to Samson, or what happened in the case of Samson, was that he was a natural man, an average person. If you saw him on the road, you probably pick a fight with him without realizing that your life is just in danger for nothing. Are you getting my point? But when the Spirit of God will come upon him, something will happen to him that he'll be doing things that 1,000 men, all right, will not be able to do. At the point in time that happened to him, he took the jawbone of a donkey that was dead, a fresh one, and he killed 1,000 men who attacked him, only one man. And those things were not normal. Please, I want to bring out something here, because this is a picture of the child of God. This is a picture of somebody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is that if you have faith in Jesus, if God is your Father because of your faith in Christ Jesus, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Please get my point here. A true child of God is actually a champion, and he can face the challenges of life as if they are nothing. That is a matter of fact. A true child of God can face the challenges of life as if they are nothing. I believe very strongly, David is somebody, was somebody like Samson. He also was a normal, average person. Nobody thought he could do what he did. But when a lion thought that this was a normal, average person, he died for it. When a bear thought this was a normal, average person, he died for it. And when Goliath looked and saw that, wow, this is a small boy, he was so angry, he said, I'm going to use you for chicken feed. I'll feed the birds of the air, all right, with you. What happened to Goliath? He died for it. This is a matter of fact. If you're a child of God, realize that that is what he made you to be. He put the spirit of the overcomer inside you. You can face any challenge in life. Sometimes people come and, you know, they are complaining, you know, because I didn't go to school. I don't have a degree. That is, life has just come to an end. You understand my point? When they look at great things, they believe they can't do it. Listen to me. The richest men in the world are not the most educated ones. The Bible says that the race is not necessary to the swift, neither is the battle given to the strong. All right? Bread is not for the mighty. Favor is not just for men of understanding. It is time and chance when we look under the sun that happens to all of them. But what did Paul said? He said it's of God that shows mercy. So the difference between a successful man and a failure is not the degree that one has and the other one doesn't have. It's whether the mercy of God is shown towards that person or it is not. I think I have to establish that first of all so that we understand this concept of Samson and David being what the life of a child of God should be. That is, the way I like to say it all the time, if you have the idea, the dream of going into transportation business, don't think because your father was a civil servant, or even worse, in quotes now, there was just one poor farmer in the village that you only managed to come out and get a secondary school education, and that's all you have. Therefore, the only dream you have for your life is that you own 4 Keke Napeps, 2 buses, and you will be very rich, because after that, you can train your children. You get my point? That is, you have allowed the problems of life, the Goliaths of life, to keep you inside your tent, like it kept the children of Israel inside their tent. You follow what I'm going to explain? This is what I tell Christians. Because you are a child of God, don't dream small. Dream for goodness sake of having, I mean, like Nigeria, we don't have much of that, what they call them, a limo company. Think of that, all right? Dream of having big luxury buses. And more importantly, this is where I like the dreams to end, all right? Dream of having airplanes and ships. Those things were not, they are not owned by people with 7 heads. Most of the owners are people with 1 head, and there was a time somebody built that company out of nothing. You get my point? I like the story I heard of the man who started them. Was it Dewu? Yeah, I think Dewu, that company. That when the man left school, he came out of school, totally broke, nothing. He said, but his pocket was full of dreams. Are you getting my point? He had ideas. He had great things that he wanted to accomplish. And we know, as a matter of fact, he accomplished those things, and his name became a household name, all right, in many places. What am I trying to explain? This is how life is. You are built as a child of God, though. You are built to be a victor. Now, let me just emphasize that again. The Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. He said, but God is judge. If you notice something there, he mentioned carefully east, west, and south, and did not bring the north. What does that mean to us? He said, from the northern side, he said, is Mount Zion on the northern side, the city of the great king. That is, from that northern side, the presence of God, the throne of God, that's where promotion comes from. He said, God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. What am I saying? East and west refers to your environment. Where do you live? You know, this life is very interesting. Many years ago, Nigerians would die to go to America and go to UK. Nobody's in a hurry anymore. All you need to do is watch TV. You realize that, oh boy, if I move to certain countries, things feel well for there. Are you getting my point? Now, that is a matter of fact. That is, promotion, nowhere guarantees anything. That's what I'm trying to say. I always like to explain it properly. When you talk about the South refers to where you are coming from, what you have, what you don't have, what the support structure around you, all right, is. That's what the South is. And they say promotion does not come from there. That is, if God lifts somebody up, the person will be lifted. Let's get that clear. What am I saying? So you see, the strength in Samson is an example of what God has placed in the hearts and the lives of his children. The strength in David. Now, let me say this again. David was not the only person that had access to that kind of strength. He wasn't. The story of David is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But for time's sake, let's not bother reading it. But at least we all know the story. That David came to that camp and all the Israelites were afraid. That's because of Goliath. And he was the only person that stood up to Goliath. Now, what I want you to understand is this. Now, why was it that he stood up to Goliath? You see in verse 31 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go up and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, because you are very young and he has been a warrior since he was a small boy. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep, and a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went after him, attacked him, and rescued the lamb from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard, struck him, and killed him. Now, the same thing I did again to a lion. Now, I'm trying to summarize everything. He now said that this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Now, please follow what I'm going to bring out here. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Please notice something. What he was anchoring his victory upon was the strength of God. Are you getting my point? What he was anchoring everything upon was the relationship he had with God. And he said clearly that the other man does not have that kind of relationship. And that's why he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't just say this Philistine. He said this uncircumcised Philistine. That is, circumcision was a sign of the covenant these people had with God. So when that guy wasn't circumcised, he was pointing out that this guy does not have the relationship that we have with God. So we have the victory. That's what he was saying. Now, what am I going to bring out from there? He was not the only one that was circumcised. Are you getting my point? Saul was circumcised. His brothers were circumcised. Everybody around, all right, were circumcised. That is, the strength of God was available to all of them. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm emphasizing something here. Every one of God's children has the strength to overcome the Goliaths of this life. The difference is whether they understand it or they don't. Most people fail not because life is so tough, but because they don't even try. That is a matter of fact. Most people fail not because life is so tough, but because they don't even try. And now, this is what I call excuses for Satan. If you have listened to me enough, you will hear me talk about that. Every time we give a reason why we can't do something, all right? You tell a man, why are you doing your business? He says, I have no capital. I see all the time. It's very funny. You don't need capital to do business. You need the determination and an idea to start to do business. That is a matter of fact. And some people say, you don't know what you are saying. Right now, I'm not talking about to do business. But I have had enough experiences with people to let you know what I'm saying is not a lie. The fact is that most people keep on shouting, I don't have any money to start business. They have no business. And if somebody, all right, was to give them money, you only put them into debt. They will start owing money. The simple thing is that, let me not even go in that direction. I just want to explain something. I call those things excuses for Satan. People start giving stories all the time on why they can't do well. And the more you say them, the more you believe them. Are you getting my point? The more you utter them, the more you believe them. The truth is that if you're a child of God, God has put victory inside you. It's called the Spirit of Christ. God has put the overcomer's spirit inside you, and you actually can face the challenges of life. There is nowhere on earth that your heart really wants to get to that you can't get to. Why? Because you are a child of God. Do you understand my point? We need to bear that one in mind. What I'm trying to explain in this our series of teachings today, beginning from today, is why some people will lose that strength, or why they will not be able to recognize it, and why others will have the strength. All right, like God put it inside every one of his children, but they will recognize it and they will use it and they will amplify it. Like I said, David went to that battle. He was the youngest in his family. You remember that when the prophet came, Samuel, to appoint anoint a king in the house, he was so young, they did not even call him. And most of his older brothers were in this battle. They were children of the same father, born under the same covenant, but they did not recognize this fact. Therefore, they were afraid of Goliath. What am I preaching? As Christians, we have the strength like David had to be able to overcome Goliath. But the problem is that oftentimes we don't recognize it. But remember what we said. The things that we see, they did not come out of the things that are easily identifiable. Why is it that some people won't recognize it? We won't talk about that. Samson, his own power used to come on him suddenly. He didn't need any special recognition. Yet, how did he lose it? What was it about him that made a woman finally finish him? We're going to look at all of these things. One of the things I want to establish as a way of starting this series again is for us to understand something. This is where I like to say, life has seasons. Life has phases. For the purpose of this, our teachings, I want to explain the three important phases in life. Number one, the Bible says that many are called and few are chosen. Those are two phases in life. One, there's a phase of calling, and then there's what? A phase of choosing. Please, very important. There's a third phase, which is very important that we note. And I want to read something there. I call it the phase of establishment. Please, quickly, I'll read some from 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now, there's something I want to bring out when I'm bringing out these phases. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, this is what we have. The story of King Saul, when the Lord sent him to go and destroy the Amalekites. And then he came back and did not completely fulfill what God said that he should do. And in which he brought offerings back, and you know, a lot of animals were saved, things that the Lord had commanded that he should destroy. When Samuel was going to speak to him, read verse 13. He said, "And Samuel said to Saul," 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, "you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Now, why did I read this? Because he said, "For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Now, I said, first, the Lord said, many are called. Now, if you go and read the story of David, let me just take that one through us again. When when Samuel came to anoint him king, you'll see that he made everybody go in front of him one by one. That story is in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Now, so in that story, you'll see that when the prophet got to the house of Jesse, he made everybody pass before him. If you read from around that verse 6, you see Eliab came first. After that, the one who was younger than him, Abinadab. After that, the one that was younger than that, Shammah. And they kept on passing until 7 sons of Jesse had passed in front of Samuel. And finally, when none of them was chosen as a king, as the Lord revealed to Samuel, Samuel had to ask, "Do you have any other child?" And then they now talked about one that was in the field, and he now appeared, and the Lord said to him, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." Now, this is the point I want you to understand here. I used to wonder, is it that God did not know it was David? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Or what was it that blinded Samuel, that Samuel got there, he had to be going through them, and he wasn't going through them randomly. He was going through them in order. First guy that came was Eliab, the oldest. The next one that came was Abinadab, the next in line, followed by Shammah, and they went until they had reached the youngest that was available. And say, "Is there any other one?" There's still one small one somewhere. Now I realized when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to this, that God was giving, he said, these things were recorded for our learning. The Lord was writing these things down so we could learn a principle there. And that is the fact that God takes time out to choose people. And he has a particular order he follows. When he came to Israel, he didn't start from the house of Jesse. No, he didn't start from the tribe of Judah. He started from the tribe of Reuben. You understand? From the oldest people. And he went through the tribe systematically until he got to this particular point. And he found David. He had criteria. That is, many were called, but few were chosen. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? David was what? Chosen. All right? He said concerning Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you have been put on a scale and found wanting. That is, each person goes on a scale before you are chosen for something. Now, so that's the second stage in life. The first stage is that many are called. You're going to read the story from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom stands in the corners and lifts up her voice and is calling. Wisdom is always calling. Many are called. But then few are chosen when they fulfill certain criteria. But amongst those who are chosen, even fewer are established. Because when God chooses you and he puts you in an office, like Saul was placed in the office of the king, there has to be a process by which you get to the point in which you will be said to have been established. And that's why Samuel came and said, today God will have established you. Three phases in life that we're going to discuss. One, calling. Second, choosing. And then the third one, establishing. Are you getting my point? Now, what I want to say quickly here is this. Everybody's called. Whether you are chosen or established is purely dependent upon you. Why did Joshua and Caleb have the strength, all right, to face the giants? It was purely dependent upon them. And listen to me. Why did David have the strength to face the giants? And why was he eventually established on his throne in Israel? It was purely dependent upon him. And why was it that even though he was anointed, Samson still lost out to Delilah? Again, it was purely dependent on him and not on God. And that's what I want us to look at in this series.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.